Willkommen beim Wonderful Podcast Yoga Beyond the Asana. Ich bin Wanda Badwal. Ich freue mich, gemeinsam mit dir die faszinierende Welt des Yoga, der Spiritualität und persönlichen Weiterentwicklung zu entdecken, zu hören und zu erfahren, wie wir mehr Liebe, Balance und Erfüllung in unserem täglichen Leben integrieren können. Schön, dass du hier bist. Hi, and welcome to a brand new episode of Yoga Beyond the Asana, the wonderful podcast. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm sitting here in Portugal right now, and next to me is a beautiful human being, a beautiful friend, Richard Eiling. I'm so happy that he's here. Rich and me used to live in Bali together in Ubud, in German we say WG, but actually a jungle WG. It was really sweet, and we really got to know each other very well. We stayed in touch over the years. I'm really happy about it. Rich is also teaching in Rose of Fire, the online studio. Maybe the one or the other already took a class with Rich. And right now we're here in Portugal spending some free time together as friends, which is super nice. And we took this opportunity to do this podcast together for you guys. And here's the official introduction of Rich so that all of you can get to know him better. Richard Eiling is a transformational coach, speaker, and embodiment facilitator. With over 15 years experience in training and personal development, after overcoming an autoimmune disease and creating successful business, he now teaches self-awareness for mindful living around the world. Specialized in self-worth, mindfulness meditation, somatic practices like breathwork, qigong, and yoga. His mission is to be a force of change in the world of man's work. To show men how to value themselves and each other, deepen their relationships, and feel confident in what they have to contribute to the world. In this conversation, we will touch upon the following topics and questions. What does it really mean to be a man? Misconceptions and beliefs around what it means to be a man and what are men told in growing up? Why are men so far behind women in their personal development? Why do men struggle with getting in touch with their feelings and communicating about them? We speak about relationships between men and women, and we also will touch upon historical viewpoints of the development of what it means to be a man. So lots of amazing topics today. I'm super excited. Welcome, Rich.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
Yay. So first question I always like to ask everyone who's here is what moves you right now in this moment?
What moves me right now in this moment? Wow, that wasn't a planned question. You've got me thinking.
No, surprise.
Actually, where I'm going to be and how I'm going to impact change. Like, it's a really, really meaningful topic for me. I've had a really beautiful life. There's been struggles. There's been successes. I'm really blessed to have had the opportunities I've had. But right now, it's like, what next, and how am I going to show up for men? That's really something that's important to me, and where that's going to take me. I'm 41, and yet not going to sort of settle down and stick to one place forever. I feel like there's a lot more to do in life, and let's see where that takes me. So that's kind of what's moving me right now. And the simple answer is I don't know, and I'm okay with that. I'm just excited.
Thank you. So let us participate a little bit on your personal path to come to this passion of working with men, men's work, being a coach, facilitator, speaker, yoga teacher. So how did it start off? What were your personal wake-up calls, turning points in your life?
I was a very, very shy, sensitive boy, holding myself back a lot and not really knowing how to relate to men and humans in general, kind of a loner. But when I got to college, I really came alive and I had a fresh chance to connect with people. And I discovered music and I started playing bass, and I was, you know, a musician in lots of different bands, and I was really able to just be me. And it was just such a beautiful opportunity to experience a different way of connecting with myself and people. But at some point I then decided that that was an indulgence, and that actually I'm not really good enough to do this, and what if I fail, and you know, all of the limiting beliefs kicked in, and so I found some regular work that I didn't really care about, like selling hi-fis and working in bars and things. And I just then started to get cynical and quite angry, and I wasn't in a relationship that was feeling very good. And yeah, this was around 24 to 26. I got very, very sick. And the wake-up call being an autoimmune disease. I'll spare you the details of how I found out, but it was in the colon. And I was
told, was it called?
In German, colitis ulcerosa. So it's very similar to morbus Crohn's. Mm-hmm. And I was told I'd have it for the rest of my life. And it was just this brilliant moment of, oh my God, like, actually, no, I don't want this. And I decided not to accept this diagnosis. Of course, took lots of drugs and had to change my lifestyle radically. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't know any better. You prescribe drugs, and it was a very good idea at the time because, again, I won't go into detail, but my body wasn't working very well. But that was a real moment of, okay, this is the life that I've led so far, and this is the result. How about I need to do something? And so this idea of radical responsibility for who I am and my actions. And that was such a gift. At the time, I didn't think of it like that. But now I'm like, wow. And so I'll never be sick again. I'll never let myself go down that path again. And so got into a long process of, yeah, learning how to reduce stress, taking care of my nutrition, looking into alternative ways and therapies, and of course, yoga and mindfulness meditation, and finding meaning in that. And so I've always been a seeker. I've always looked for more meaning in life. You and I relate in that way. The 9 to 5 was never for me, and I was always connected through, like music and something a bit more. And this gave me that. And so I left the country. I went traveling and just reawakened and discovered the simplicities and beauties of life. And, you know, good 20 years later, I've learned to teach people, connect with people. And this desire to, yes, understand and accept myself, but to find meaning in life for me is to then help other people. That's not to say everyone has to do that, but that's been my biggest realization. I teach well, and whatever it is, it's like the feeling I get when I can help someone else get to that place I got to through my own practices is this stillness, and like, I can take off the mask. Here I am. And from that place, we can all connect to each other more. So that's really the driver. And when I'm off that path and in my own head or doing something that lacks that meaning, then things don't feel very good anymore.
Yeah, thank you for this short journey through your life. So what were the first steps you took? You said you went traveling, you started to look into alternative ways of healing, of self-understanding. So what were the first practices you did, or did you straight went to a coach? What were your first little steps on this path?
Back then, there wasn't the coaching industry, you know, wasn't quite as big as it is now. So back then I was figuring things out on my own and, you know, researching on forums before Facebook was such a thing, and understanding about my illness. Discovered yoga and gave that a try. It was like, oh, they seem peaceful. They don't seem very angry, unless it was Bikram yoga or something. You know, these people walking around afterwards, steam coming out of their heads physically and metaphorically. And I actually tried Bikram and it felt good for a bit, but discovering the path of yoga for me was profound and really important. And you and I are, you know, very much in line with the kind of yoga and what it is and means. So you've spoken, I'm sure, enough to people about what that is, so I won't repeat that, but I'm so on board.
You're welcome to repeat it. We cannot hear it often enough.
I mean, you know, just yoga beyond the asana, you know, modern yoga being a lot of stretching and it fits your way into it, great. But the potential of learning to sit with, after you finish the shavasana, you don't go off and have a cup of tea. It's like, no, this is the moment. You've cultivated some stillness, right? Depending on the practice. Now let's use the breath to deepen that. And now let's explore the mind, right? Still the mind and see what's there and become the observer so that our mind, our reactions, our stuff doesn't have to dictate us as much. And for me, that was had a big impact because my mind races. I'm a great overthinker, overanalyzer. It's not going anywhere. And so the practice is what keeps me grounded. I'm a very pitta driven guy. Like there's 10% of kapha in me. So that means I'm just a very thin human that struggles to be grounded naturally. And so it's been my work to learn to do that. And now people tell me I'm grounded. I'm like, are you sure? Okay, great. I'm glad you think so.
was actually a lot of work.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it's learning where your imbalances are and doing it for the reason that so that you can be an integrated human and then just function, you know, and do the things that are meaningful to you. Mm-hmm. Therapy was a big impact as well. And as a man searching for a therapist, there was a lot of stigma in my own mind about that. Like, oh, there's something wrong with me. But after enough failed relationships where I was the one on the floor crying my eyes out going, it's, you know, it was like, there's something wrong here. There seems to be a pattern. Maybe I need some help with this. Mm-hmm. And to reach out to someone else and go, I need help with this. I need mm-hmm. support. That was profound. And I still have the same therapist. And I'm very grateful that I chose to say, okay, like I can't do this on my own. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for speaking about that. And previous to the podcast, we were already, you know, like bouncing back and forth topics that could be interesting for this podcast. And I think you already are here touching up on a very important point, which is about asking for help and to normalize the idea of getting help, getting a coach, getting a therapist. I mean, my audience already knows my story, so they already know that I've done, you know, 15 years of or 20 years, I don't know even, of inner work and healing modalities and therapies and stuff. And I'm really happy that these days it's way more normalized than it used to be. To have a coach, to have a therapist, to talk about healing openly. I think in the United States, I mean, that's something I think we can learn from the Americans is really that they are way more, how can I say, coaching based, like training based. They're way more open about getting trained, getting help, getting support. And I think that's probably something that, I mean, still a reason why people suffer in their own room, or they feel fearful about getting help. And I think especially men. Am I right on that?
100%. In my opinion, at least. I mean, there's the brief caveat to that, which is that we're not supposed to do everything on our own, and there can be an addiction and to, you know, finding support through healing, coaching, and we can use it as a crutch, like when you're struggling to walk and you use a crutch to help you, like that metaphor is important. Like we, at some point we want to be able to put the crutch down and say, okay, I've got this. And it's a balance between the two. So that is important to me to be honest with. If I'm still coaching the same human after 5 years, perhaps they're dependent on me and perhaps I'm not actually that good a coach. You know, it's like, okay, like go fly, do your thing as I search for growth as well. That's important. But men, I think you've highlighted an important point, really find it hard to ask for support. And I think there are many reasons for that. There's a stigma around us as men. It looks like we're weak if we ask for help. It looks like we don't have our shit together if we ask for help. We're not supposed to show that any weakness. Like we're conditioned in that strong man way to, okay, man up. Don't be a pussy and things like that. And it's such unhelpful language. But a lot of cultures, Western cultures, that's how it is. And the negative or the side effects are that we hold ourselves back. We don't say what we're really thinking and feeling. We haven't been educated like that. Women tend to kind of come together a lot more, and it's part of your nurture, the way that you're cultured to do that. And so, and it's not true of all men and all women, of course, but women support each other. And you've got so much in the field of spirituality and personal development, right? There's so many women's circles and women's entrepreneurial this. Men do their own thing. And the amount of circles I've sat in and people I've coached, just like I used to be, I've got to do this on my own. And if I say to another man, hey, I don't actually know what I'm doing, or hey, I'm scared, you don't do that. It's just not acceptable. There's something that makes it sound like that's wrong. And so we hold ourselves back, and that's part of the reason why I think men are really struggling at the moment. Women are just, they're doing amazing things, and men have the potential, right? But at the moment, we're kind of hiding in a bunker, especially during the whole Me Too movement. There was just nothing but silence. Men are like, how do I process this? I don't want to say the wrong thing. We have no connection, or very poor connection, I think, to our emotional capacity. All we need to do is learn to come together again, because we have the ability, but at the moment it's just we're shut down.
Yeah, I'm so happy actually that we have the opportunity right now to talk about this, because I think it's so important. And that's, I think, what so many listeners also from the podcast can feel, you know, and we are observing that are much more women in the field of self-development, yoga. I mean, just like to, you know, name a number, in a yoga class with 20 people, there's maximum one or two men, right? It's different actually in the United States. To just say some numbers, you know, in the United States, a 72% women and 28% men, which is quite high already, but still a significant number is bigger, right, in the women's field. And in Germany, it's way under 20% in a yoga class. And so you said there are some of the stigmas, right, why men feel maybe more shy or afraid to go onto this inner path. Yoga is just one way, right? There's breathing, right. There's meditation, coaching. There's men's circles like you offering at Rose of Fire. I'm so happy about that. So like, what would you say, or let's speak a little bit about the stigmas that are in the way between men and going onto this inner path and wanting to get to know themselves, wanting to connect to their feelings, wanting to deeply connect to their partner. So what is between, what is the fear?
The fear is looking like you don't know what you're talking about, or you haven't got it together. I think language is a big problem, and words like vulnerability make men run a mile. You know, feelings, emotions.
Like, yeah, so just a side note here for the German listeners, vulnerability. So also, by the way, Rich is also speaking German. Er spricht auch Deutsch and understands Deutsch. Just for you to know. And then just throwing in some words, maybe because many people don't know, you know, vulnerability in German is Verletzlichkeit, you know. Yeah, so okay. That would make men run away, this word.
Absolutely. We don't have a relationship to it. It makes us look weak, right, in our minds. You can't be real, because you can't, if you're honest, then you're exposed, and someone might shame you, blame you, etc. We just don't have a relationship to that side of things. And to look at where these stigmas come from, for me, it's helpful to look back at the fact that there were two world wars not so long ago. And for sure, women had their burden, their struggle in taking care of their families and building, you know, munitions and working in the factories. It was a horrible time for everyone. But the men themselves, let's remember, were on the front lines watching horrors happen and coming back to the real world and having no way to process that a lot of the time. And so when we don't, as we know now today, don't process trauma and don't speak to it, heal with it, deal with it in some way, it gets stuck down and repressed. And then you see men take it out on their partners, right? Violence, taking it out on their kids. And the cycle continues. And we're still kind of sadly seeing that now. And so for me, that's one of the most valuable things men can learn to do, is to start to look inside and deal with what is very scary and very uncomfortable. But we have no roadmap for that. We're not brought up in school to deal with that. I think it's starting to change, but men my age, let's say kind of 30s, 40s and 50s, oof, we're in trouble. We're watching this world change and we've got no ability to process this. And the idea of stepping into a men's circle, it's what's this hippie shit or, you know, all this emotion.
This Weiberkram. It's for the weak ones.
Weicheier, you say?
Weicheier, yeah, yes.
Exactly. It's like, that's, you know, and we need a perspective shift on that. And I think language is helpful. So for Verletzlichkeit, you know, we need to use different words to make men understand that it's safe to do that. Mm-hmm. And for men to come together and that behave differently so that they can show up differently with their partners. Mm-hmm. That for me is the key thing. And so the bravest thing a man can do right now is say, yeah, I don't want to feel like this anymore. I want to connect to these men, but I'm scared to. I'm going to try anyway and come to a circle. But that's the hardest part. And that's why I'm here to say, hey, my life changed dramatically as a man and as a human by doing this. Therefore, so can yours.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think men's circle is such a beautiful first step into connecting with other men, listening. I mean, I'm doing women's circle for some years and I'm always stunned again and again about the healing power of just hearing other people speak about their own struggles and pains, and you suddenly feel like, oh, I'm not alone in this.
Yes, 100%. One of the first things we do, I mean, I think it's probably a good thing to separate women's work and men's work because we are different. Like, I'm just going to put my neck on the line and risk. But I believe we are different, and because we're in different stages of development and have different, we're just different. And so it's helpful not to try and copy blueprints and for us to develop our own. But in this way, I think you're right. I think that's something that everyone can benefit from. Not feeling seen and heard is the root of all conflict, whether it's a couple, whether it's two countries, religions, you know, that this is at the root of it. And lost my thread.
The healing power of feeling not alone in your struggles or your challenges.
Yeah, thank you. And so I get so excited, I get lost sometimes. My mind goes to different places, you know. One of the first things we do in a circle is to a high-low round, right? And it's not like some deep, scary work, you know, sit there and cry together. No. Like, let's feel safe and just normal first. Mm-hmm. But the high is like, what's the cool thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks? We're not very good at celebrating what is good in our lives. You know, it's like we just get on with it. So that's a cool thing. But at the same time, what's a low for you in the last couple of weeks? And there's the gold. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you're ashamed to share it with your partner because you think you need to have everything together and be the strong provider, right? Mm-hmm. And with your friends also like that, I'm not sure, I'm not doing so well. If you don't have that relationship here, in a circle of safety, you can then start to say what is real for you. And no one judges you. No one complains. No one tries to fix you or give you advice either. It's gold. It's like, I hear you. I see you, brother. Mm. And you can put your hand up just to say, yep, I totally resonate. And that simple gesture, whether it's online or offline, it's like, oh, I'm not alone in the problem. It's never the problem. It's feeling alone in it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the magic. And that's just the first round.
Yeah. And that's an amazing starting point, I think, to have the courage and go onto this inner path. I think what I hear, or what is a question that I get asked sometimes is, you know, in my retreats or my teacher trainings or courses, I would say 95% women. And they say, well, I'm on this inner path now for a few years and my partner's really struggling with that, that I'm changing, you know, and I'm evolving and he doesn't seem to want that. He's afraid of me changing now. And we have a lot of trouble in communication. What can I do? Like, what would you say? What can women do? Like when they, you know, they really, and obviously more women are doing it right now, right? Are in the yoga, are in the coachings, and, you know, and there are less men. I mean, more and more happening, but, you know, slowly. And So what would you say? What can women do to encourage their men to also say, you don't need to be afraid of that, right? To you can join me on this journey. Like, what would you say?
I would say that, again, a small caveat, it's helpful to remember that we shouldn't try and change somebody else, right? And in English, we say you can only draw a lead a horse to water. You can't make it drink, right? But we can still lead that horse to water because men are quite stubborn and they're afraid most of the time, mm-hmm. right? That's the reality. I'll speak for a lot of them because I've coached and worked with a lot of them and I've sat in a lot of circles over the last sort of 5-6 years. What you can do is you can lead that horse to water by just showing them an example of a man doing something differently, showing them that course. I mean, several times in the Rose of Fire men's circle, mm-hmm. a man has appeared there going, I don't know what I'm doing here. My wife booked me this ticket. What's going on? You know, they don't even know how to use Zoom or something. Like, mm-hmm. And then, of course, they love it. Mm-hmm. Because it's just men getting together, being real and creating solidarity, safety, having fun, speaking to topics that we all care and think about, but we didn't know that there were men out there. Mm-hmm. And it's always the same. It's like, I don't know you men. And yet it's 1, 2, 3 sessions. There's a bond here. There's trust because we just drop deep. Not all the time, but that's what I think a lot of men are missing and they want. And so yes, it's probably frustrating to think as a woman or as a partner, God, do I have to make him want to do that? Deep down, he wants to. He just doesn't know how to. And he is feeling insecure, looking online and looking for this. Ah, it's too much. It's a fear. Mm-hmm. I know because that was me. But if you can have the patience and the love to just help us men along and go, look, check this out, you mm-hmm. know, there'll be resistance. There will be. But I guarantee you, he wants it deep down. You mm-hmm. know, he's just looking for some guidance. And so just showing him a role model or someone you resonate with, mm-hmm. that could be me. That might not be me. You might really mm-hmm. not enjoy me and my style at all. This guy, God, no. But finding someone you think, or 2 or 3 times and just watching him go, okay. And getting him on board that first time, it's that's what you can do. Because the desire is there from both of you. It's just finding the right moment mm-hmm. or the right modality or person. Mm-hmm. It could even be like a yoga session, breath work. Mm-hmm. Making him do what you think is the right thing is never going to work, and vice mm-hmm. versa.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure. No, you cannot force anyone to do anything. That's a bad idea. I don't know how much time and energy women, you know, just kind of waste trying to change the man, right? That's never going to work. But I think leading by inspiration, by you know, what you are excited about and what makes you feel better and what helps you, I think that's always a good idea. And yeah, a men's circle. And I'm always happy when I see women at their online studio sitting there with their partner, you know, and then just, you know, getting them into the yoga. And so what I think many people actually don't know is that yoga in India is for men only. Like, I don't know if you have been to India, but I went in a couple of times and I was just surprised. I mean, that's also a reason why that is because it's still, there's a huge imbalance between the rights of men and women in India. It's still a very patriarchal country. But in India, it was actually the other way around, that more men were drawn to spirituality. And I mean, if you look at who is famous for being an awakened being, it's more men from India. And I'm not saying that's good, but I'm saying in India, it's more normal that men do inner work, that men do spiritual things, that they do the yoga. And when you go to a class, there's only men, actually. And it's funny, that's the other way around here. And it's more women. And you said, like, for example, yoga was a big piece in your life. So why do you think there's also this, an adversity? I mean, we said that before, like you being a Vaishya, maybe if you go to the yoga class, you don't want to wear this, this fancy leggings, like in purple color or whatever. I don't know. Like, what do you think is, like, why are men not so attracted maybe also to try the yoga? Or
I think there's a few reasons. The kind of man that typically does go does dress in a certain way. And I'm not really down with that either. I think it's another mask.
Wearing what?
You know, white, lots of white clothing and loose clothing and hemp and, you know, just beads and things like that. Like,
what are you wearing for yoga?
T-shirt and yeah, just something comfortable that I can move my legs into.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging to say there's right or wrong, or whatever you feel comfortable in. But a man that's not into that world, seeing a man that he cannot identify with.
Yeah, thinks, with the linen pens. And
yeah, yeah. It's like, And there's also the reality of, well, what do I get out of this? Mm-hmm. What I see is people doing shapes that seem very flexible and I'm not flexible, right? That misunderstanding that yoga has anything to do with flexibility. But asking a man to sit down and do nothing, you know, without a beer in his hand and focus, is it's like, well, what for? What do I get out of this?
So what do they get out of it?
Well, again, like I remember teaching yoga in Bali a few years back, and it was, I was covering for a friend and she was away, and it was at like a yoga surf hostel where like on Wednesday, nobody came because it was free beer and pizza night. Just to give you an idea of the kind of place it was. Yeah. It wasn't dedicated yogis, you know? But I'm like, I'll teach two people, I'll teach 20 people. It's, you know, it's the same thing. And one night there's some men came and they'd just been surfing and typical, you know, surfers, let's say, and I'm a surfer, but you know what I'm talking about. And one of them, the guy, I thought he's gonna hate this. You know, he's sat there and he's struggling, and I'm trying to help him get into the poses a little bit and find his version of them. And guess what happened? At the end, he came up to me like, "Oh my God, that was amazing! I could relax." You know, in these poses, they help me in the meditation at the end. I've never meditated like that before. Now, that's not me being a great teacher. That's just me being able to communicate how he can get into these poses. The yoga does the work, right? For anyone, you just find the right yoga for you. So he felt deeply relaxed. He felt this moment of stillness where he didn't have to be himself. And here's the thing for men to really understand: there is no need for you to play a role anymore. That is what we have to unlearn, that we need to be playing some kind of role. Women in personal development and spirituality, in business, they're not interested in playing roles. You don't see posts and things on social media about women, the divine feminine. Okay, you hear about that, but it's not like a woman needs to be this. A woman should be doing that. Women are like, we can do it all. You know, they've learned to be more masculine, let's say, right? And have these roles in work, but they can do all of it. They've got the emotional range, the whole spectrum. They choose what they want, and that's how they're expanding. And it's like, you're leaving us behind. You're out, what's the word? You're outperforming us in so many areas in life. And I'm like, I get why. Whereas men still feel like they're playing a role, and they're being told, even in a lot of men's work, okay, the healthy masculine is this and men need to be strong and this. It's like, whoa, how about we find our own meaning of what masculine is and stop playing the role? Because men sitting in a circle for the first time, very rigid, very stiff, hiding their emotions, you know, like, or Ian Bali, just kind of, they're strong. They're present, you know, and it's like, oh God, do we need to, why are we're still doing that? We're conditioned to do that. So for us to let go of that is really powerful. And yoga helps you drop this mask just by sitting in meditation at the end. Oh, I don't need to be this human, you know, it'll come back occasionally, but how about I just let go of this? And how does your relationship change to your partner after you or he has done some practice like that? It's like, oh, hey, how's it going? Rather than, okay, I'm doing this and that. And no, like, take off the mask. And yoga is just one way to do that.
Beautifully described. I love it. So you just need to be human. I love that sentence. So before we were speaking a little bit about the stigmas around what men has to be in the history of, you know, men needing to be the provider in the Second World War, the traumas that men experience and that are passed down actually from our, I mean, my father was born in the Second World War. Of course, that was not a moment to be connected to their emotions. You know, emotions were actually something that was hindering you in this moment to be emotional, right? You cannot, I mean, shoot an enemy when you're super emotional and compassionate with the other person, right? So there's reason, and I think that's really important to understand that the trauma, and I think there's still so much misunderstanding about trauma. I mean, how Dr. Gabor Mate says, you know, is that trauma is not what happened to you, but what it made with you, like what happened inside of you because of that, right? So, and that we all have, to some extent, some kind of trauma. And it's not only, you know, being on a battlefield, but it can be, you know, your parents divorced, or you didn't get attention, nobody listened to you, you felt insignificant, you felt your emotions didn't matter, all of that. And I think it's really important to acknowledge, why is it actually that men actually have higher difficulties to be connected to their emotions and to express them? So let's talk a little bit more about, you know, like how can I, as a man, you know, and I think also women, that's what I sometimes hear also from, you know, women complaining. I have some, you know, single girlfriends around, and they're saying, like, you know, when I'm dating, so many men are not connected to their feelings. Like, I don't feel them. Like, and it's boring for them. Yeah. So, but there's a reason behind that. And it doesn't feel safe for men probably to, and that they're actually also afraid of their own emotions and the emotion of the women. So what can men do to, what is the first step, or also in your coaching, what do you do to reconnect to their own feelings?
Yeah, great question. And I go beyond, like one step beyond saying that they're scared. I think men are terrified of this, okay. And especially terrified of showing up as weak in front of a woman, you know, especially when they move into an area that they don't have any education or experience in, like emotionally connecting. Like some of us, like me, like quite sensitive, and I'm so comfortable doing that. And yet it's still terrifying for me as well. Like, what if I get rejected? What if she makes fun out of me, right? So no matter where you come from, it's quite an edgy thing, because that's not what we're brought up to do. We're there to perform, right? And so to actually
be the strong one.
Yeah, it's
no problem at all. You know, like I made a joke with my partner, you know, because that's one of the beliefs he was carrying, you know. It's like, no problem at all. Like, I can manage, no problem, you know, I'm strong. Like, that's something, you know, he had to like realize, like, oh my God, my whole life. I mean, it also brought him to an amazing place in his life, right? He got a lot of done, and he gets a lot of done, but still. And that's something in our dynamic also, where I go like, can I help you? You know, can you relax also on my side as a woman, right? So that men feel like they constantly have to be the one who has everything together, you know, no problem, I'm going to solve that for you, you know? So I think that's also a lot of like stress.
Totally. And someone asked me after a workshop I gave, a woman said, don't you just feel like you have to perform all the time and you're under pressure all the time? Yeah. Constant like performance anxiety. Whether that's in your career as a man, whether that's in bed, right? What if it doesn't work, you know? And of course, the woman also would feel guilty if it doesn't work, if you know what I'm getting at, right? Yeah. So there's both sides of that. But the man is supposed to perform, and the internal pressure that he feels to get it right, to show up in this role, that's, it's almost genetic now. It's so deep inside us. It's really... One in my coaching, to answer your question, is one of the first things I do is like get men to be comfortable dropping that role for a bit and learning to express like what their priorities and needs are, because they often get suppressed. They often don't get expressed because there's this bigger thing, like I need to show up for the relationship, I need to be a good father, I need to provide the money, even if it's a, you know, more modern relationship and the money is balanced. And again, there's no right or wrong. I'm more interested in, how does it make sense for the two of you? who brings the money in and whatnot, you know, rather than you performing the role that you think you should be, it's like, well, actually, no, like it makes sense for us to do this. But men need to learn to let go. Men need to learn to surrender. And these are scary words, but it just means, okay, take off the mask, like come back to what is naturally really, really good at you and what you love doing for a moment. Feel safe and grounded in who you are and what is great about you now. And then from that place, you can start to connect. Like there's so many nice guys that I work with. You know, there's the alpha male that steamrolls through things and says, okay, I get everything done. But then there's the nice guy that's like, oh, maybe I have to be nice to everybody and never says what they need or want. So both types of male struggle in this way. And learning how to do that respectfully with your partner or at work and set boundaries is a really important thing. So that's kind of the initial stage, coming back to like who you are as a human and what is great about you as a human, rather than this fucking role of being a man and what that means that you've been carrying around like a backpack. Mm. Take it off. Take off the mask. Learn to connect with each other as men and then to your partners. And embodiment, mm-hmm, is a big part of that, you know. And for men, that's quite scary, but it just means being honest and being real with someone like me or, you know, your partner, and then tuning into how your body is reacting in that moment. And there's a level of authentic or conscious relating that can happen that the woman knows how to do most of the time, mm-hmm, already. And she's like, oh, wow, mm-hmm, here he is. And because as men, if we say, I'm scared, or we share something like, I'm not sure I can pay the bills this month, or I'm not sexually attracted to you at the moment, or we're terrified of what's coming back. We're terrified, mm, of the power that women have over us. And if we can learn to be real and then say this thing that's true for us, we'll actually notice that women are like, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew that. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting for you to say it. Mm-hmm. And then you can talk, you know, and then it's not about power anymore. It's about connection and authenticity, and then going, well, what do we do about this? Mm-hmm. Because the fear of saying something like, I'm not sexually attracted to you anymore, is that all hell breaks loose, connection is broken. But it's a reality sometimes, right? And it's like, okay. Women know these things before men do. They're so much more switched on. Mm. And what women, they know it, but they're waiting for the man to say it. And then they can trust his word, but they know he's present and real. And that's what I think your friends, single friends, are missing. You can sit opposite a guy and he's like playing the role still. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard. It's so hard for men. And yet not impossible for us to come to that place and just be real and say, hey, I find you stunning and beautiful, but part of me is worried about this, or mm-hmm, just to be authentic, mm-hmm, and go from there. Separate conversation, but there's also the problem of the masculine feminine expectation that the men, mm-hmm, also does lead, pay,
yeah,
book the restaurant. And, mm-hmm, and are we all ready to throw that away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you beautifully said earlier, sometimes you can hold your partner. You, mm-hmm, can say to Marcel, hey, look, collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Cry, let
you
go.
You would not do that.
But giving him the space to possibly.
The opportunity, he could. Yeah.
Okay. We both know him. I mean, he's a gentle giant to me, right? There's a softness in him. And he's so real. Mm-hmm. And yet he's really powerful. He's got both. So you did well. Well done. Nice guy, right? But with a lot of men, it's not there. It's very, very scary and edgy. I've practiced it for years. It's been terrifying, but it's also through the help and support of other men and women, you know, in relationships and coaching, yeah, therapy. I have no problem now explaining what I want, what I don't want, what's okay for me and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives me agency, sovereignty over myself and how I lead my life. And it also means that people around me, women, men, respect me, and it's mutual. I respect, yeah, them, and there's this level of authenticity, right? Mm-hmm.
And I think what is really important, as a message, I want to share from a women's perspective on that is it's so powerful when a man opens up, speaks about his feelings. That's so powerful. Like, and I think when we look onto what kind of men women find attractive in, like, you know, VIPs, what kind of men are these? You know, like Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, you know, like this man integrated some kind of softness. These are men who have like some kind of that, I don't like it to gender emotions feminine, but more like kind of a feminine creative side, you know, playing the guitar, you know, like feeling, they feel there's a gentleness about them that makes them attractive. I mean, I'm just now generalizing that, right? Like a little bit and speaking for many women who find these men attractive. Also George Clooney, it's like there's a gentleness, like that you feel like they're with their hearts. Like you feel, I mean, Johnny Depp, maybe not in the last couple of like 10 years, but you know, the Johnny Depp before, like, of course, there's also projection there, right? Of course. Right. But, you know, I'm just like, want to point out that I think what is attractive for us as women is men who are really connected to their feelings, you know, and that, you know, can be speaking about your needs, for example, you know, and I think that's something that, I mean, also women, we really didn't learn in school. Like we didn't learn how to speak about our needs. And for, I think before you actually know your needs, you need to study yourself first, right? Yes. In order to express them to your partner. So it's really important to, yeah, to get to know yourself first and be curious about who you are, actually. And I think that's, I mean, that's the core of all questions, right? Who am I? And it's probably, I guess it's way more, I mean, it's a super scary question. Like, who am I at the core? And to question everything I thought I am. And I guess for, especially for men, it's even more scary to ask that. Maybe in India, it's not so scary because it's just part of the culture to, you know, constantly self-inquiry and, you know, do their meditation and their rituals and stuff. But I think in the Western society where it's, the focus is so much on achievement, on performance, on, you know, success, that it's really scary to question your identity and the direction you're moving into. It's super scary, but I think it's so worth it. And what is curious for me also is because I think we both know that, and many people know that listening, is what motivates change is usually not sitting on the couch feeling super comfortable, right? Where we are. So usually it's some kind of pain that when we start to look inside, book a retreat, go to yoga class, go to coaching, we are searching something. Like there's something inside us that motivates us to go there. So what would you say is so when men hear that now, you know, what is like attractive for them around doing that, you know, like, or what do you think needs to happen, like collectively in men in order to say, yeah, I'm curious about who I am. I'm curious to discover my emotions, my traumas, to look into my childhood. I'm curious about become a better communicator with my woman. I want to, you know, express my needs. Like because I think men think like that, right? What can I get out of it? Like, that's why I'm asking this question, like out of a man's mind, kind of like the achievement, like what can I get out of it? Like, what is the benefit, you know?
Where do we begin? I think that words like purpose and potential are quite helpful. I think that men are driven by these. The question of who am I, and the reality of I just being a construct is actually like very freeing, but we have to, you know, go into those layers to understand that. But it doesn't have to be that complicated, right? To get men into this kind of work, it's just a simple question for me of saying, well, what else are you doing with your life? Like, what kind of man or human do you want to be? And if you look at the way the world is changing, do you want to be a part of making sense of that and contributing towards that? Or do you want to sit there in a box and go, I don't know, so I'm not going to do anything? Like, we can either shut down or we can have the humility to say, I don't know, help me out. And that's the big piece.
Humility, yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. Men, help me, need to just start from that place and say, hand in the air. I don't know what it means to be a man right now. Let's find out. Because it's not really about men and women at the end of the day. That's just kind of a part of the culture wars at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's not comment on that. Like, it's change is change. And rather than sit with the pain points, you know, that need to change being from a place of, oh, well, if I don't change, then I'm going to feel like I don't belong or something like that, that will drive people to an extent, and men.
Yeah.
But the idea of like your aspirational identity, like, what do you aspire to be, man?
Yeah,
like, right? Like, come on, what are you doing? Like, and we need more role models. And I don't like that phrase anymore, a role model. Like, I don't know many men that can say, I look up to this man. He's a great example of what it means to be a man these days. There's not so many out there, I think. I like Hugh Jackman, for example. He's a perfect blend of someone that is tough and strong and yet sings his heart out and is super open and authentic. And it's like, well done, sir. Right? But more interesting is to be like a leader by example and just have the desire and the strength to try and lead and just to do your best. Like, I think men can resonate with that idea, self-leadership, step one, to then lead in relationships, in the workplace, and not to be like, you know, men need to be in charge. Like, that's super out of date. We're going forward together with women and with all identities, right? That's the idea, not to take back something, not to look back, but to go forward and to be an active part in the world. Because the men that I talk to, and I've done a lot of research on this, so I'm not making this up. They want to be a good father. They want to have some kind of purpose, meaning a life that has an impact beyond the self. And it doesn't have to be, you have to be a coach, you have to change the world. But men need that. Humans need that, I think. So it's like tapping into, like, who do you want to be? Like, what's possible? That excites me a lot. And that's, I found fulfillment. I'm talking about this with you on a sofa in Portugal. I get to live where I want. I get to have like the freedom of any kind of decision in life because of I'm free of my mind. Not 100%. I'm still a mess, right? Like, there's moments where I'm like, oh God, Rich, you're doing that again. Okay. But I own that and I'm aware of it. I have choice. I have agency. And men want that too. All humans want that, but men need that. At the moment, we're hiding in a bunker somewhere going, okay, I'm not sure about this. It's like, okay, step up, like, come to the circle or move into this work and just start somewhere. Because men, the clients I work with, whether it's like they had an illness like me and working with the mindset around that, it all comes down to them expressing themselves for the first time in their lives a lot of the time. You know, we get sick for so many reasons, but a lot of it's like, inflammation, stress related, because men are suppressing how they're feeling and thinking because they're too nice, they're seeking approval, or they just don't know how to do it. And when they learn to actually say to their partner, like, I'm scared, or I need to say this to you and I need you to listen to me, and putting their foot down and for the first time saying what they really think and feel and being heard in that, life changes dramatically. Didn't it for you? It's not about men all the time, right? When you learn to say to your partner, to your parents, like, hey, hear me out and stand in your own power. There's a phrase that men like. And that's, again, that's what I help men do. That doesn't mean being powerful or more powerful than women. It just means, hey, brother, stand in your power and say no. No means no, or yes, whatever it is. It's like learning to just be yourself and authentic and responsibility that comes with that in standing and saying, this is what I think and feel. Because a lot of men are hiding at the moment, or they're bulldozing through and it just feels really clunky, and women are going, oh God, you're doing that Trump thing again. You know, that's a lot of men voted for him for a reason, and we need to do something about that.
Yeah. And I think we really need you, right? Like, we need the men to wake up, you know, also, like, with us, like, the whole planet is like, I mean, we all feel that so much is changing. And I think on a global level, more and more people waking up, right? And I think in order to, for men not to, you know, lose the train, like, miss the train, like, this is, like, zooming out of the, you know, train station, like, you know, they need to jump on, I think, better sooner than later. And
it's moving.
Yeah.
It's like, guys, come on. Can you see? It's
it's happening.
Where are you? What are you doing? Come on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But not to play a role, just to make that point clear, just to, for men to come together first and feel good around each other as humans and not playing the role, it feels amazing.
Yeah. And I think a very important point is about the humility. I think because I think quite often the egos in the way, like, I don't need that, you know, maybe other men need that. And I think it's also a lot about respect for, I want to talk about that for a moment, about the respect for the feminine, not for the gender of women, but for the feminine in all of us, you know, the feminine in nature. I mean, nature is so feminine, you know, the feminine in expressing in emotions, in creativity, and to honor that. You know, I just recently gave a podcast about honoring the feminine in the world and how important it is right now for all of us, you know, for the men to accept and to reconnect to their feelings, everything we talked about before. I mean, I don't like the, you know, the gendering kind of thing,
right?
But in the core, if you would say, women more connected to their feelings than men, yes. Yeah. So yeah. So, and are men more focused, directionary? Yes. Yeah. So just like in a generalization, I don't like it in, you know, I don't like generalizations, but if we think about it like that, emotions are feelings. I mean, that's even the Dalai Lama says that, you know, he says like the world will be rescued by women, you know, he quoting him, you know. So I think he even said, I think Western women, but I think what is the message behind that is it's not men or women, exactly what he's saying, but moving forward together. And I think it needs to happen in honoring the feminine and also honoring women. I mean, what, you know, we have been this suppressed gender for so many years, you know, I mean, like so much trauma there, you know, we don't talk about that now, but to also honor women in, you know, also wanting to have a career, you know, and rethinking the roles, you know, more and more men staying at home, you know, caring for the children, which is beautiful to see, you know. And I think more and more this kind of things, conversation needs to happen in relationship, like how are we going to raise up our kids, like who's going to work, like all of this, and also more women also in leadership. Yeah, I think that's a part that needs to happen. And also, but also men honoring the woman, right, the woman in their life, like as the partner, but also the feminine inside of them, right? And I think that's a super important step forward.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you for all of that. That was beautiful. I, two things. One, the way I see masculine and feminine, it's like a piano. Mm-hmm. And on one end, dun, dun, little penetrating, leading the masculine. And on the other end, I won't go up that high because my voice will break. Then it's the feminine. I mean, you know, it, and then it's the other end of the spectrum. And that's where polarity is really interesting. And in sex and intimacy, you kind of want one and the other, you know, that makes things interesting. Mm-hmm. When it's not, then it's, there's not really a spark, right? Mm-hmm. But that's intimacy. And it's interesting there. Come to the real world, we all have to learn to play all of these notes, not just either end, but the stuff in between.
Yes.
Right? And so women have learned to do that. Men have not. That's how I see it. And so we're playing catch up. That's where we're running up, running after the train. We're like, oh, because we don't know how to.
Yeah, but also actually what I see in women, that's what I hear in the circles often, is that also women are actually, I disconnect from the feminine. That's also something sad I hear often here, you know, that they also feel disconnected from their emotions. And I think it's not only, you know, a man's thing being disconnected from their emotions, just to point that out. I think it's also a society, a problem, you know, of trauma, of, you know, wounds that haven't been looked at, you know, pains in the history, and also the society we live in, just where we're not get taught and emotions are just not important. You know, and even are like looked down at, you know, like, oh, that he's emotional, you know, or she's too emotional. Like, I think that's something that is really like we are all afraid of, like, oh God, I'm too emotional, you know. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of healing collectively that needs to happen.
There are plenty of alpha women out there, right?
And, for sure.
And I don't want to say that actually deep down that that's not what they want. Like, I'm not into that. Like, polarity exists within two humans. And let's say there's this alpha woman and she's going to be more interested in a softer male, perhaps. There are arguments that say that that's actually not deep down how it should be. And that because the man penetrates with his little thing, well, hopefully, whatever.
Gosh.
Sorry, everyone. Like, because the man penetrates deep down, he should be the masculine and she should be the feminine. It's like,
with his big thing.
Exactly. Right? Like, wake up, get over it. Like, that's such an outdated concept. And that shows up in spirituality a lot with these kind of workshops where the women sit there in their feminine, meaning, you know, just sitting there in oil, massaging each other, eating grapes and like, feminine. And the men just stand there like statues, you know, hitting each other. And if you move, then you're not masculine. You know, you need to be present. And it's like, oh, for goodness sake, that's too extreme. I mean, we all need to learn to be more present. We all need to learn to be softer with each other. And I don't want there to be no polarity and for us all to be floating around, you know, not that there will be no polarity then. But I think the alpha woman wants to learn how to, soften again. And I've actually helped women do that because I know how to soften. And then helping men step more into their masculine. It's like, it's just a seesaw. It's like, where's the balance? You want to be able to play both. And so that in your relationships, you have to be able to say to the other person, hey, what's going on? Let me play your role for a moment. Because otherwise you're in a dependency and that, or a codependency where you're both like, okay, I can't be in my feminine until you're in your masculine. It's like, okay, so I have to play a role. There's a condition. Good luck with that. You know, and there's a lot of spiritual work going on that actually says that's what we're really here to do. And I think it's way more nuanced than that. And I think it's really healthy for the woman to flip the guy over and be on top of him in bed sometimes. And I, you know, as a man, I love that. I love both, you know, and that's what keeps it interesting. We're already going in that direction. And so again, that metaphor of the guys running to catch the train, it's like, learn what that feminine side means. And also, let's come back together as men and value ourselves for who we are and not the role we should actually be. And that's not about masculine and feminine anymore. It's just about connecting as humans. So I'm not saying that the only way forward is for men to, you have to just get involved in your feelings and that's what's going to save us. It's critical. And it's scary and edgy, but like I said, the first step is just coming to a circle or just
being real.
Yes,
being real is I think it's at the core, and it's beyond, you know, masculine or feminine I really loved a lot about what you said, and I wanted to catch up on one thing. What I really loved about what you just said is, and I want to point that out or exclamation mark behind it, humans are not static statues, like, you know, static personalities. They are, I really love the expression, they are progress. You know, we are progress, like we constantly changing. And I think that's so freeing, this thought of, oh my God, I can be all, like, I don't have to be one or the other. I don't have to be only the dun 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 on the piano or the meh, 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 meh. I can be both, right? And I can... And you are right in saying that women had to learn, I think, in this patriarchal society, we had to learn how to be our masculine, right?
Yes.
And missing sometimes also the feminine in this flow of trying also to keep up with men, right? Which is also not healthy. But I think definitely we are more adaptable, like, and also, you know, are more easily to be in all the roles. Yeah. And I think that's something so important for all of us to hear, that we can be all, right? We can be weak and we can be strong. And sometimes being strong actually means to be, you know, whatever weak or to be vulnerable, that's actually a strength. And I think it's so important to hear that, you know, that we are a work in progress. We can be everything and we can discover ourselves, and we are not a static personality that is like that always, and that we can change and evolve and grow. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
I like the metaphor of like a grandfather clock, mm-hmm. you know, and you got this big pendulum going.
Yeah.
And that's how life works. You know, we ride the waves of change as humans, sometimes gracefully, sometimes not so gracefully. But it really just swings one way or the other. But fundamentally, it's somewhere in the middle that we find balance. And that's what yoga gives us. That's what psychedelic journeys can give us, right? Like this exploration of one versus the other. And we find who we are in the middle of that. And we understand that we're everything. And mm-hmm. isn't that exciting? Mm-hmm. Isn't that freeing? Just to learn to just think, well, I can do all of this actually. And evolution is like giving meaning to mm-hmm. things along the way, but meaning can change. Mm-hmm. The meaning of life, well, it's the meaning you give it, man. Mm-hmm. Like, so let's just let go of all of that and say, well, where do I sit on this without any of these roles? Mm-hmm. That's kind of exciting to me, no matter how we identify.
It's totally exciting. And another thing that just came to mind is something, a very, very important experience I had in my way of connecting more to my own masculine. Was when I was teaching yoga, and I want to share that because you can adapt it to everything, because I was sharing my yoga, and back then my ex-partner, he said to me, gave me very honest feedback. I didn't like that always, but it helped me grow a lot as a teacher. And he said, you know, don't try to be liked. Like, why do you want to be liked? You know, and then that's something that women have, like being the nice one, being the girl, you know, being sweet. And I kind of dropped that fear of not being liked in a yoga class. And what happened was, and I was teaching more from that Shiva space, you know, from a direction and a clarity and precision also, and being precise about things and clear, and no wishy-washy words in between that make people feel nice, you know. And when I dropped that, interestingly enough, what happened next class, a student came up to me saying, Wanda, what I love about you is you're so feminine. And I was like, what? If you would know what I'm doing right now. Like, and what that was so interesting. And I kept hearing that as a feedback, like, what I love about you is you're so feminine, like you're so connected to your feminine power and stuff. And what I was working on was actually the opposite. I was working on my masculine. And what that helped me understand is that I feel like even when we highlight the polarity that maybe is not our nature from biology, it kind of shines a light on, you know, what we already are. And that's what I feel still till today, is when that integrating both inside of me was a huge key also to my success. I believe in that, and not only, but and I think it's the same for men. What I said before with Brad Pitt or something is about, like, when you allow yourself to be both and to integrate your creativity, your feelings, it even highlights, you know, it gives you like a diversity, a spark, an interesting, like kind of like a diamond that's like, you know, have different sides, and you look at it from different angles and you go like, wow, and it's sparkly, it's like interesting, right? And I think all women love guys who play the guitar, for example, right? Who are like in touch with their emotions and expressing and you know, because it's interesting. You know, and it kind of highlights, makes them sexy somehow. Like, it kind of highlights, like, I think for women, I can speak for myself, but like, this less sexier than a guy playing a guitar, you know? And then, like, Beth's having some tattoos and like sitting there. Rich has some tattoos, by the way, and playing the guitar. Anyone interested? Like, no, but
thank you.
Yeah, but I think it's a truth about that, you know. And I heard also men saying, like, I like independent women also, you know, who have like some strength and, you know, who also know what they want. And so I think it's like vice versa. So to not be afraid, you know, to integrate all of this.
Couldn't agree more. Again, I mean, there's a book called The Courage to Be Disliked, and the title's mm-hmm. just enough.
Love that.
We look up to people in society that aren't tied up in what people think about them. Mm-hmm. In the book, it says, I love this definition. Freedom is being disliked by other people, because it means that you are totally yourself, and it doesn't matter. The more you are yourself, the more people will come to you and will like you and think, wow. But the more other people will be challenged by that and not like you, but you're being yourself, so it doesn't matter. And you accept all of that. Mm-hmm. You're being, it's both sides, and that's interesting. So we look up to people that are utterly convincing, and there's no doubt in their minds. We're like, I want some of that, please, because we're constantly doubting ourselves and our roles and how we show up. Again, Trump is an unfortunate example of that, mm-hmm. right? It's like, there's no doubt. And there's politicians often display these characteristics, and then later we find out underneath, oh God, okay. But it's like looking up to those people that we want that for ourselves. And I completely agree. I love the strong, independent woman. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing wrong with the woman who's less like that and wants to be taken care of, for example.
I want to be taken care of too.
We want all of these things deep down. Isn't it tiring to always be strong and independent?
For sure.
As a human.
Yeah, it's tiring.
Right?
On both sides, right?
Exactly. And so then again, it's like, look, I'm the provider, you're the nurturer. Bye. Not interested in that dynamic. We both need to show up for each other. That is a real relationship. Initially, you're attracted to the what you, if you're projecting what you don't show, what you don't have in yourself, mm-hmm. or what you wish you had in yourself. And so the awareness you can create by doing this kind of work, and like, okay, what kind of partner do I think I want versus what actually is going to be healthy for me? And so actually, I like strong, independent women, but I also like the nurturing, really grounded type as well. And somewhere in the middle is the human. And the list that we write about the ideal partner, I mean, like, I could talk about this for hours. It's insane. And it's like, whoa, you like to the same music, or they need to be a certain height? Like, okay, height's a thing for women. I get it. But like, let's get real. Like, what are the things that really matter? Does this person respect and love you for who you are now, or are they constantly trying to make you into something else? You know, like, we need to get a little less picky and have a more authentic conversations, and that's how relationships actually work. Because at some point the honeymoon phase ends, and then you go, oh, you're not my soulmate, actually. I just, you know, that thing you do in the bathroom, no. You know, it's like, oh, this, good luck with that. People that are in long-term relationships are honest and real with each other. As my therapist likes to say, healthy people talk, you know? And again, very, it's just true. Being seen, being heard. There's the reality about sexual polarity that goes after a time. So what's important to you about living with this person? Your life, their life, and then there's this third dynamic called the relationship. I got lost for years in the relationship. That became my orbit, my star, and I didn't have my own sense of self. I'd thrown myself into it, and that's why when it didn't work out, I was on the floor. I was lost, mm-hmm. you know. And again, it's not gender specific.
No, I right? did that.
High five. And so, yeah, the relationship's a beautiful thing, but when you're integrated and you're clear on what you want and what you're doing with your life and who you are, that's going to pull in the right kind of partner, where you're actually, you've got a chance to do some of this work and build something beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we could go on for hours with this. Yeah, I think we have to continue this conversation another time, like going deeply into relationships and polarities and all of this super, interesting and fascinating topics. And I think it's more relevant than ever in these days, in all this conversation of gender equality and, you know. Yeah, but let's come back to the men, and we are already over time, but so I have one last question. Like, if you could speak to men, like three things you would like to give them, like maybe wisdom you collected or things you would like to say to men right now. If you imagine here's a huge, you know, audience of thousands of men, and you have the opportunity to talk to them and give them, you know, a message, one to three things you want to say to them, what would it be?
Relax, take off the mask, stop feeling like you have to play a role. You are totally accepted as who you are in this space. once you learn to do that. When we're forever in our roles, then we're competition to each other. We're threats to each other. When we can be real for a moment, the level of connection that's possible will blow your mind. If there was a, let's imagine there's 1,000 men listening, like I'd love that. All of you have an ability to connect to each other right now and build a deep, profound relationship. You're all thinking the same thing. You're all scared of the same thing. And you're all deeply craving the same thing. And yet you're not talking to each other. Begin that conversation somehow, somewhere. And trust me, as a man who had a problem, deep problem growing up with one side of the family that was emotionally disconnected, you know, because of what we talked about earlier, these world wars and whatnot. And I was a shy, sensitive boy. I had no relationship to the masculine whatsoever. I've spent my life growing up as a man who was uncomfortable around men and masculine energy. The shift that I've now made and turned that on its head so that I now lead men, and men older than me are telling me things that, like, you know, saying that I'm wise. And I'm like, okay, it's like, I say this not to puff myself up. I just say taking responsibility for stepping out and being real with other men connects you to them. You can then value yourself. You can value each other, and you can share your unique gold, which will for sure impact any other man that you come into contact with. And feeling confident in that changes everything, not just your relationship to other men, but to how you show up in relationships, how you show up in your career, how you show up with your children. All of this is possible when you take the first step just to be real and open with another man in some way.
Thank you. Yeah, and one first step could be to come to the men's circle. We have an amazing men's circle twice a month happening at Worlds of Fire. So we will put the link in the show notes.
It's in German.
It's in German and in English. So it's led by, or the space is held by Rich and by my partner Marcel. And they are doing an amazing job. I've heard, just that men are continuing to come back because they are just, amazed by this work. And it's so powerful. I can say that from my own experience in my women's circle. It's just so powerful to come together and share and be real and be authentic and vulnerable. And it's just beautiful. And thank you so much for doing this work. I'm so proud also that we have this men's circle, because it's not much out there in this, this field, and it's so needed. And so all the women listening to this podcast, please, as you heard before, give your man a gentle kick. They want it deep down. With a little bit of humor and there's nothing to be afraid of, right? There's nothing to lose. Nobody's forced to anything.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And as Rich said before, it's you're not forced to cry or, I don't know, touch each other's hands or whatever. Yep. It's very real. It's really about being real. And that's one opportunity, one first step that could be for men who are listening and feel inspired, or women listening, feeling inspired, go like, hey, you need to hear that. Like, please advise this podcast to your partner, brother, father, whoever you feel like needs to be encouraged to get to know themselves better, to go onto the inner path, to really be curious and who are tired of playing a role. And, another opportunity is, I mean, Rich, you're an amazing coach. You're doing amazing work, and I couldn't recommend you enough, really, as a coach. And please tell us a little bit about what you're offering. I know you do one-on-one coaching, but you're also working on a program actually specifically for men. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm really interested in working with men who were in that space that I was in, or are in that space that I was in. So like that kind of emotionally connected, sensitive, like entrepreneurially driven guy who wants to make an impact and change, but is a nice guy, is struggling to say how he thinks and feels. And so his relationships are definitely suffering, and he's not able to make the impact that he wants to in his business either. So learning how to shift that, coming into that grounded space of feeling safe in who you are and leading authentically self-leadership. Like, that's what I'm offering these men. So dropping the nice guy, dropping the approval seeking, like showing up and rekindling that spark in relationship and in how you're leading at work is what I offer here. That's what I've learned to do with my own life. And the freedom that you get out of that, the impact that you create out of that, that's what I'm offering men in this program that I'm launching now.
Sounds amazing. And also, because we were talking about it before, and I feel very passionate, and my deepest wish is really that more men, you know, are jumping with us on the train to stick with that picture. You are offering an amazing offer for the first 10 men showing up for your program. You offer a free coaching session. Is that true?
Correct. Yeah. I'm interested in just, I mean, whether they go into the program or not, it's like, hey, let's just have a conversation. I'd love to help facilitate that first step. So those first 10 men get a free coaching session with me, and it's open. It's open right now. So I'm excited.
Amazing. Yeah. We will put the link in the show notes. So if you're a man listening and you're interested in, you know, getting in touch with yourself, with other men, you want to change something in your life, then that could be your opportunity. So first 10 sessions are free, an amazing offer. So maybe you're one of the first 10 men reaching out to Rich. So the link is in the show notes. And also, if you want to get to know Rich, we have at our online studio, Rose of Fire, we have pranayama meditation sessions with Rich. He teaches moon yoga, and it's not for flexible people. You know, it's for everyone can join. And also every class, like the first class at Rose of Fire, is for free. So if you just come and try it out, you know, and, you know, it doesn't hurt. And just come. And Rich is an amazing teacher. So yeah, we would love to see you there.
Thank you so much, Wanda.
Yeah, thank you so much for being in the podcast. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And I think there's so much more. We could spend hours here. I'm pretty sure we continue this conversation. Thank you so much, Rich, for coming on the show.
Danke für die Gelegenheit.
Yeah, and thank you everyone listening. Please share this podcast if you loved it, if you think other people can be inspired by it. I really hope you take something with you from listening. Thank you for your time. And I hope I see you next week. And yeah, stay healthy, stay happy. And thank you so much for listening again. Bye-bye.